Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
When I entered high school, I met someone named Stephanie, the person who would become my everything for over 10 years. I was a lonely, shy child, and Stephanie managed to make high school super fun. We had other friends, but at the end of the day, it was always Stephanie and me. We decided together to go to the same university and study business because she said that that would open many doors. I thought it was a good idea, and the universe was on our side because we managed it. We got to share a dorm our first year there and moved off campus for the other 3 years. When we graduated, I thought it would be a good idea for us to have our own place so we could experience adulthood for the first time. But we needed jobs for that, so we both started looking. Stephanie got an interview at a nice company a few weeks after graduation. She got the job and managed to recommend me. I was encouraged to apply, and a month later I was working at the same place, and I really felt like we were sisters through and through. We found studio apartments on the same street and they were reasonably priced. Stephanie said that we could be independent and still be there for each other, and this was a great idea. For most of my life, I couldn't believe that I had been so lucky to find my best friend. But this new living and working situation came with some changes. I had longer hours than Stephanie because our roles were slightly different. It's hard and boring to explain, but I had to stay an hour more almost every day. At first, Stephanie waited for me so we could take the subway together, but the rush hour crowds were rough to manage. Eventually, Stephanie decided to leave promptly at the end of her day and run errands. She always checked on me, though, and I always sent her a message or a quick emoji when I got home. The thing is, I had something then that I didn't have since high school. Time to myself. I could go to the grocery store alone, which is where I met Curtis.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm a little quirky, so I was never interested in dating much when everyone else was, and I only remember having a 2-week boyfriend back in high school and sharing a few kisses with randoms at university, and it was nothing. Book boyfriends were all I needed to keep me satisfied in that sense, if you know what I mean. Curtis was different, though. Our carts bumped in at the supermarket, kind of like a rom-com, actually, and he flirted with me pretty blatantly. He looked like the men in my books, and I just jumped at him. Figuratively, not really, because we spent that first night together. You know, I've always believed shy girls are only shy because they haven't met the one they want. In the end, it wasn't a one-night stand. He wanted something more and he lived close by, and I was completely in. So it took a while for me to notice that I hadn't seen Stephanie in almost 3 weeks, and she was actually waiting for me after work one day and told me so. And I'm so sorry for being so callous, just texting and sending memes was not enough. But she asked me what I was doing that day, and I told her about Curtis. To say that she was shocked is sort of an understatement. When I told her how serious things were going, she was even more surprised and worried. I assured her that everything was okay. I liked him very much, but I wasn't stupid either. However, I couldn't go out with her that night because he and I had plans already. She didn't like that and wasn't afraid to tell me. We had discussed this while growing up, how we never wanted to be the kind of women who forget about their friends when they get boyfriends. I told her this wasn't the same because I had made plans with Curtis before. Stephanie said that we never needed plans before, but I told her to start making them, otherwise we would spend days without seeing each other. I was acting cheerful during this conversation, but I could tell that she wasn't entirely happy. She sighed and said that we were going out the next night, and I had to promise to tell her everything. I thought that was an excellent idea. The next day, during our hangout, I told her all I knew about Curtis, everything that wasn't private, but she asked even more. She wanted to know where he lived exactly, where he worked, his height, his astrological sign, his birthday. I was confused, but told her what I knew. Stephanie asked me to find out the rest, and I said I would because we were probably seeing each other in a few days. We agreed to go to a new restaurant, and Stephanie asked which one, and I answered, not thinking anything of it. And believe it or not, she showed up on our date, uninvited. Curtis and I were already sitting at our table, and she just stood there. And the silence was awkward, so I looked at Curtis, biting my lip. He got my cue and invited her to sit. Okay, I didn't like that. And the next day at work, she came into my cubicle and asked if we could have a girls' night at my house soon. I loved that idea because I was trying to think of ways to tell her that showing up at the restaurant was not cool, but I was still unsure if it was a big deal or not, seeing as we'd known each other forever. We had our girls' night. It was fun and fatty and full of laughs. I brought up the whole date crash, and she skirted over the subject until I sort of let it go. Whatever, I thought. I didn't want to upset or hurt her by telling her that she was actually third-wheeling. Stephanie's dating life was complicated. I didn't know much, but she went out with many guys at university, and she said that it was the time to experiment. In a way, I thought that she was the opposite of me, who just didn't care. I never saw the faces of the men that she met, and if she slept with them, she did it at their dorms or their apartments. What I knew was that she hadn't been serious with anyone either. Technically, I was the first to have a stable boyfriend, but a few days after our girls' night, I noticed that Curtis hadn't texted or called since the last time we saw each other, the day before that girls' night. He didn't reply to my messages, and I was starting to worry. I thought about calling Stephanie, but I didn't want to. Curtis and I and whatever went down with us seemed private. It also seemed stupid to panic after only a few days, so I waited. I decided to clean my apartment to pass the time, and that's when I found it. There was a shoebox under my bed. I didn't keep any shoeboxes at all. My parents were practically hoarders, and I had promised myself to throw out everything I didn't need. But this one was small, like the kind for children's shoes. I took it out and almost discarded it, but something told me to look inside. That was confusing. I saw a cloth napkin smudged with food, an old tube of red lipstick, some hair, and a vial of some black liquid. The interior smelled like incense, the kind that kind of gave me a headache. I didn't remember having this trash, but I grabbed the napkin and noticed the new restaurant logo. We hadn't eaten there since Stephanie crashed our date. I never took this napkin, which meant that only two people were capable of making this box and putting it under my bed. A flash of something passed through my mind. My two-week boyfriend from high school. We had broken up, and I was bummed in my room when Stephanie came to visit with ice cream and cookies at that time. I dropped a cookie accidentally, and it rolled under my bed. While getting it back, I found a sock that smelled like the shoebox, and I remember not being able to tell what it had inside. Stephanie took it before I could look further and told me not to worry about it because I was wallowing in depression. Not really, but fine. And she threw it away or took it home. I didn't care. So the shoebox had to come from her, not Curtis. I had a strange feeling and took a picture. I eventually found a forum online and almost immediately people told me not to touch it. Too late, I guess, but okay. They said it was witchcraft. The bad kind. I don't know what that meant, but someone went into further detail and I was shocked by what she told me without me explaining anything about my life. This user wrote, asking if I had a boyfriend, and if so, I was probably having problems with him because that box had the intention of breaking us up. I replied that I hadn't talked to my boyfriend in days, and I think I knew who had done this. She told me that I needed to confront whoever did it and throw those items away after. I wasn't sure if I believed any of this, but I took the box with me to work, and during lunch, I went to find Stephanie. I asked her to come to the bathroom with me for a second, and she smiled. As we were walking, she asked if everything was okay with Curtis, and her little comment made my hackles rise, like she already knew. We went into the bathroom, and I checked if it was fully empty, and I took the shoebox out of my purse, demanding to know what she did. Stephanie denied knowing anything about it, but I knew she wasn't a good liar. I knew her, or thought I did, for years, and I even mentioned the sock. She transformed before my eyes, but turned to only look at me through the mirror. I don't know why. I can only describe this moment as like that scene in The Little Mermaid where Ursula is Vanessa, but in the mirror, she looks like Ursula. Not as obvious, but the way Stephanie's face contorted in this sort of restrained anger was not normal for her. She was a bubbly, outgoing woman, usually. Then, she took the box from my hands and threw it in the trash. After, she went back to only staring at me through the mirror and said, "Fine, I did it. What are you going to do about it?" I backed up and tried to make her look at me for real, but she wouldn't. So I just stared at her through that mirror. I asked her why she did something like that, because I actually looked it up, and people told me that it was voodoo or whatever. And she started deflecting and asked if I had broken up with Curtis. I hadn't, because I hadn't talked to him in a while, and she just started to laugh. That same creepy laugh. Okay, maybe it wasn't as dramatic as Ursula, but I swear it seemed that way. She said it was over for me and him, and that I had to remember that she was my best friend, and I was hers. And she really dug into that phrase, "you're mine." And I just stepped back. I had no idea what was going on or what she meant, but before I could back away any further, she grabbed my hand.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Her face did turn to me this time, but for some reason she couldn't look directly at my eyes, and her fingers started to move across my knuckles, almost in a caress, but not quite, because I was trying to pull away. I asked her to stop, to look at me, and talk like a normal person. She was freaking me out. I don't know if I was yelling, I probably was, but Stephanie wouldn't stop. She tried grabbing my other hand, but I avoided it until my back hit the wall. I heard a small whisper come from her mouth. "You're mine. You won't leave me." She did finally take my other hand and did the same strange knuckle caress thing, almost like she was counting each one slowly. But that caress started turning painful. She was pushing her fingers into the indentation between each knuckle, pushing hard. I couldn't speak. Although I wanted to cry out from the agony of the pain, I was just sort of frozen with my back against the tiled wall. I had no idea what would come next. I didn't even know if I was crying in that moment or not. All of this was just so insane, freaking me out. This was not Stephanie. Someone walked in. The door in that office bathroom was extremely loud, and like a spell breaking, everything just snapped back into reality. I almost felt like it had been a vision, because I just blinked and Stephanie was at least 4 paces away and finally looking directly in my eyes. And she just smiled and said that we would talk later, and left. But we didn't, in fact, talk later. I waited because I was still hurt, confused, and curious, but Stephanie ignored me from then on and asked for a transfer from work after that. And she just cut me off fully from her life after, and I still have no idea why. Look, I know anyone else would have just cut her off first, but she was my best friend before that day. All of this was so strange and I couldn't understand anything. And as crazy as it sounds, the night of our bathroom face-off, Curtis actually called me and apologized for not texting sooner. He got spooked about us moving too fast, but snapped out of it that day and wanted to make it up to me. I find it hard to believe that this was all because of the box or whatever Stephanie was doing to me in that bathroom. Anyone would easily explain it away as some coincidence, and I think of it like that, but sometimes I still wonder. Maybe. Also, if Stephanie felt like I was hers, why did she cut me off like that? And not getting closure is just terrible, especially because the mirror stare still remains fresh in my mind, and the pain in my knuckles hasn't left since that day. I still miss my best friend.
Hey guys, thanks so much for all the support. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, please feel free to do so. Have you ever been wrongfully accused of something in your life? Well, I have, and for something that has always been one of my biggest fears. This new generation seems rather scary. I mean, girls are aggressive and boys are getting timid. I'm not saying any of these are wrong, but as I watch them screaming over something that isn't even logical, I miss the old sensible generation where one could sit down and have a nice friendly conversation. Honestly, I blame social media and the internet. It's ruining people. A family doesn't even talk amongst themselves anymore, and a couple where they are always chatting using this weird internet language. But when they are together, they do nothing but stay on the social media all the time. I'm the kind of guy who, if you judge by the age, is a Gen Z, but nothing about me belongs to any of these people. I'm sometimes feeling like an old man stuck in a young person's body just because of my thoughts, not anything else. Anyway, as I mentioned earlier, my biggest fear is getting accused of something, especially by a girl. You see, today's modern feminists who do not know what actual feminism is about and when the movement started, modern feminists can lie and blame you for crimes you never committed, which is something we all, whether male or female, should be scared of. The pro-life and pro-choice movement was recently on the rise in the USA, and as a student, everyone was picking sides. The pro-life movement, which, as the name suggests, is to save lives and raise awareness, made more sense to me than the chosen one. I mean, yes, you should have the right yourself, but when your action harms someone else's life, you should be responsible for them. The thing that most confused me about the choice movement was if a father kills the child without the mother's consent, then they scream that it's murder. But when the role is reversed, they scream it's my body, my choice. I didn't get the logic behind this. Whatever the case, I was on the side of saving the life, which was an individual, so I picked the side that modern feminism opposed. Besides the fact that I attended a pro-life seminar at the university and openly supported them, I had a personal life as well, where I was socializing among my friends and trying to date. I installed Hinge after taking a suggestion from my friend Finn and created a profile for myself. Judging by the information I had put about myself, there were very few matches for me, but none of them were the kind of girls with whom I would want to have a long-term relationship, and I wasn't looking for a fling or one-time thing. I know, it must be hard to hear from a guy, but I would very much like to have one girl for life and be romantically engaged with her. At last, I matched with a girl named Iris, who seemed to have similar interests as me, so the two of us ended up talking among one another and swapped numbers. Her tone was soft and polite. It just melted on my ears like a cool, relaxing breeze. After a few brief conversations, she asked if I wanted to meet, and we decided to meet at a cafe around 4 p.m. The movement she walked in that peach dress that went below her knees, covering her entire skin, and her brown hair tied in a long braided skin, allowing full access to her round yet small face. Her big almond eyes, cute nose, and sharp lips that had formed into a polite smile were just perfect. She looked gorgeous and cute at the same time. Where men love to see a woman in sexy, slutty clothes, most men would prefer a simple woman who tries to hide their skin from other men over the girls everyone had seen. Well, for one, I am liking that. And then again, I did mention being born in the wrong generation, so maybe it's just me. We started with the introduction, and then moved on to exchange information about family, hobbies, etc. She mentioned her love for reading and writing. Literature was something she found fascinating, and her hobby was sketching. Every little detail she shared about her felt fascinating to me, and I was eager to hear more of her soothing voice, but she excused herself to the bathroom. As I was waiting for her, a group of girls with rather colorful hair than normal entered the cafe laughing. I guessed by their t-shirts that they were protesting somewhere for pro-choice. I cared less about them than the dirty cup on the next empty table, so I continued waiting for Iris when I felt a tap on my shoulder. "Yes?" I asked as I turned to meet the eyes of a pink-haired girl. "Hi, you look cute to me, so can I have your number?" The moment her cringe-weird tone hit my ears, I was ready to throw up on an empty stomach. "I'm sorry, not interested." After saying this politely, I turned around, but instead of giving up, she came and sat in front of me, making me stand as a result. "Rude? Are you here on a date? I'm sure I'm more attractive than the chick on the wait. So, how about you ditch her and have fun with me?" She came closer and attempted to flirt with me while maintaining her cringe-worthy tone. I backed away a few steps away from her, and my expression showed clear signs of disgust. But even then, she didn't leave. "What is your problem? Can't you hear me saying a clear no?" When she did not understand my resisting approach, I had no other choice but to scream. As you can imagine, it gained a little attention, and a few people gathered, including the girl's friends who were on the counter. She felt humiliated, so she shouted that I was trying to touch her inappropriately. And when she rejected, I tried to force her. And as we all know, whenever a girl says something like this, most people tend to believe her rather than a guy who seems much bigger than her. "Why are you lying when it was you making advances towards me?" I asked, but she started shouting at me. And her friends, despite knowing the truth, started to say that they saw me doing whatever she was claiming I did. There were a few dudes who came forward to help the little damsel in distress and were like, "You think you're tough for asking a girl in public, bruh?" Along with a few cuss words, MFR, etc. I fired back by saying that she was lying, but who would believe me in such a situation as the crowd started to threaten me? I saw a single smirk forming her lips and then disappeared as soon as I noticed. That was the most eye-watering, terrifying moment of my life as I realized that I was getting accused of something like that. Just as I was about to lose all hope, I noticed Iris walking inside the crowd and asking loudly what was going on. I thought that was it.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
I was not going to be badly humiliated for something that was completely innocent of, but the girl I was immensely attracted to was going to think I was some kind of pervert. The pink-haired girl shamelessly drew out crocodile tears and repeated the lies she'd been telling for the past 10 minutes to these people. As Iris's lips formed a soft smile, I got confused and scared at the same moment. But then she said something that dropped everyone's jaw literally. "I have been standing there for the past 20 minutes and have not just seen, but recorded everything. Now, do you want me to humiliate you by exposing your lie over the internet in front of the entire world, making you lose your face? Or are you going to apologize for the man you wrongfully accused?" Those girls' jaws dropped after listening to her words. Everyone else was at first mesmerized by her soft, feminine voice for a few seconds. And then they were like, "What? She was lying the entire time? Tick tock, the clock is ticking. I don't have much patience. I can just press post this video right now, she threatened in her polite voice. Wait, I'm sorry I lied. I was the one who came onto you first. As these words came out of that pink-haired girl, people started to gossip about her, but she couldn't withstand staying there, so they all rushed out. Those who were saying badly about me earlier apologized and went back to wherever they were before. Thank you for standing up for me and recording that, I said. Believe me, the moment she pulled Una reverse card on them, I was ready to cry as I imagined telling my future children, that's how I met your mother. Want to know a secret? She whispered in my ears, making me blush. I nodded. I didn't record anything. I was just bluffing the entire time. I got out of the washroom 5 minutes before that. As she said that, I jolted my head toward her to see her smile, which made my heart thump even louder. But how did you know they were lying? I looked at her in confusion. I'm a good judge of character. I could tell that you're not that kind of person, she said calmly while sipping her coffee. And trust me, I couldn't help a few teardrops falling down my cheeks. I was sure as hell going to tell this to our future kids, I thought as I smiled back at her while grabbing my cup. Spoiler alert, I did end up marrying her in the end.
I was 17 at that time, and I need to give you a little background. It was 80s and before cell phones. I'm a female, and I had a best friend at my high school who I'll call C for short. C and I met when her brother asked me to be his girlfriend, and she didn't like me at first. She would walk around me and taunt me, but once I stood up to her, she began to respect me, and then got to know me properly. Now, because I knew her and her brother, it was a very short-lived romance. I spent a lot of time hanging around at their house, and C also had a young twin brothers, her mom and her older male cousin who lived in the house. Over the time, I became close friends with the family, and her mother even offered me a job. She sold beautiful clothes via fashion shows and asked me to be a model. I really enjoyed that job and the friendship I made. Then one night, C asked me to spend the night, which I hadn't done before, so I said yes. But I couldn't get a ride to her house until it was already pretty late, and my ride dropped me off, and rather than waiting to see if I got in safely, just drove away. Walking up to the house, it was completely dark and quiet. And when I knocked, no one came to the door. I knocked again, and still nothing. I was stuck there, and had to get someone to wake up and let me in. And I was beginning to get scared. There were a couple of other houses on the street, but for some reason, they were all dark and quiet too. I walked about a quarter of a mile down the dark, deserted street to a payphone, and I dialed C's number. After several rings, she eventually answered and unlocked the door for me. As I walked back to her house from the phone booth, she went back to the bed, and I went into the house. It was as dark as quiet inside as it was outside, and I made my way to her room where I thought I was going to be sleeping, but she'd fallen back to sleep and locked her bedroom door. Her young twin brothers were still awake and invited me to sleep in their room, as they had two sets of bunk beds. So each twin had his own bed with an extra for the older cousin. I didn't see the other brother, my former boyfriend, that night at all. That was a fine situation for me, as I liked the twins, who were about 9 years old. So I lay in one of the bottom bunks, and I was ready to sleep. The boys were talking like kids do, and they were fine, but the older cousin was in there as well, I believe in the bunk above me. But they never turned on the light, so I wasn't really sure. Now, While the twins talked and giggled about nothing, the cousin, who was at least 20, maybe older, began making very inappropriate comments to me, which in pitch blackness was all the more unsettling, because I couldn't see where he even was in the room. At first, I ignored him, thinking he was just being a dick. But he persisted. It didn't matter to him that the two young boys were in the same room either. And he got more and more explicit in saying the things he wanted to do with me. I was really creeped out by this point. But I still didn't think he would actually do anything. I kept asking him to stop talking to me like that, but he wouldn't. It just escalated, and I couldn't tell he was going to leave me alone. So I finally got up and walked out of the room, still in the dark, and I made my way to my friend's room right across the hall. I knocked on her bedroom door. When she didn't make a sound, I could see that C was a very deep sleeper, and her door was still locked. This entire time, the cousin kept talking and scaring me, and as I frantically tried to wake my friend, he began getting out of his bunk and coming towards the hall where I was. I had to do something fast. For some reason, C's mom wasn't home that night. But since I had spent so much precious time in that house, I knew it pretty well. I knew that there was a den right there next to the room that I had been in with the boys, and I knew that den door was locked. Just as the cousin reached me in the hallway, I screamed a little, ran into the den and slammed the door in his face, immediately turning the lock all in one motion. That room was even darker. So the first thing I wanted to do was to turn on the light, but I couldn't find one anywhere. I searched for the light because I wanted to push something else in front of the door, knowing that the little door lock was not a strong one. But I couldn't find light anywhere, and within about 2 minutes, I could hear the cousin fiddling with the locks. He got it open so fast, he might as well have used a key. So now he had me where he wanted me, and he quickly closed and relocked the door. We were now completely alone in the dark room, with nowhere around to stop him. The twins had stayed in their beds throughout, and there was nothing they could have done anyway. This guy then very quickly grabbed me towards him, putting one hand over my mouth and nose so I could neither scream nor breathe very well. His other hand went right between my legs, and he was touching me in my most private place, as I was at his mercy and barely breathing. He quietly said things in my ears as I struggled to breathe and somehow defend myself. He was behind me, and his arms were wrapped around mine in such a way that I couldn't use them. I'd been in a similar situation with a man in my not-so-distant past. So this time, I was angry. I did not want to do this to happen to me again. He went on for a few minutes, which seemed like an eternity. And just when I thought I ran out of hope, miraculously, there was a knock on the door of the den. It was my friend C. She hadn't woken up when I was pounding on her bedroom door, but some kind of divine interventions had somehow caused her to wake up now. "What's going on in there?" she asked. The man tightened his grip on my mouth and nose so they couldn't make a sound. And he said to her, "We're okay, we're okay." And here I tried all my might to at least make some kind of sound. But since I couldn't get a breath in, I couldn't manage it. I will forever be eternally grateful for my friend C at that moment, as she didn't just go back to the bed thinking I was messing around with her cousin. Instead, she said that she wanted to hear me say I was okay, and that's when the cousin knew he had lost and let go of me. I immediately screamed, "Help me!" and I ran into her bedroom with her falling behind me. She then closed and locked the bedroom door. I was gasping for air, crying and trying to tell her everything that had happened. She had trouble calming me down as I was still terrified, and I told her that he could pick her lock if he wanted to and would come in and get me. She promised that she wouldn't let that happen, and much later I was somehow able to fall asleep. In the morning, I woke up instantly, afraid of remembering what had happened the night before, and C wasn't in the room with me. I panicked for a moment, thinking the cousin was still somewhere in the house, but after a moment, I had my friend talking with her mom, who had arrived back home. I joined them at the table and learned that C had already filled her mom in on everything. Her mom told me she was sorry about what had happened, and that morning she had already thrown the cousin out of the house and that he would never be allowed to come back. At that moment, I had been certain I was going to report it, as I hadn't reported my previous assault, because I felt like it had somewhat been my fault and I didn't want anyone to find out about it. I was still struggling with the decision, but this time I was angry, and I did not deserve to have that happen to me. These people had felt like my second family for a while, and that mom was my boss at the job I enjoyed very much. I didn't want to hurt them, and I certainly didn't want to jeopardize my relationship with the mom and my job. The most important thing was, though, is this time. I knew none of it had been my fault, and I knew my word. I realized that no matter what a woman does, nothing gave a man the right to force himself upon her. And I had gained quite a bit of strength through this experience. So the point was not whether I'd reported the incident or not. I'm going to leave that part up to you, the reader, to decide. To all women, even men, that I recommend carrying a pepper spray in a stun gun, as I do now. I won't get into discussion about guns, but you can still stop an attacker, even a dog or a bear, even from a distance of up to 4 yards with pepper spray, and up close you can disable them with a stun gun and get away safely without killing anyone. My wish for everyone listening this is to please stay safe and be aware of your surroundings.
A few months back, I decided I was pretty much over the breakup I'd had during the summer with my long-term girlfriend. It took me months to be able to get over it, as I was really heartbroken, but at some point you just sort of have to get back on the horse, don't you? So I downloaded that dating app Hinge and started swiping through profiles. It's definitely the best dating app I've come across, as it lets you actually message girls directly instead of just sort of hoping that they're going to see you and match with you. So it definitely gave me a better chance at getting to talk to the kind of girls I'm into, and one of these was a Persian girl named Sarushe. Sarushe was honestly one of the most beautiful girls I'd ever laid eyes on. She had this big mess of wild dark hair that was dip-dyed blonde towards the ends, really high cheekbones, perfectly sculptured eyebrows, and some of the deepest, darkest, most alluring brown eyes I'd ever seen. She was simply stunning, and because she'd grown up in Tehran, the capital of Iran, I had something of an edge. You see, I speak a little bit of Farsi, the language they speak there, and I figured that might impress her if I told her as much, which it did, and boom. Only an hour or so later, I sent her my opener and we were chatting. She was an extremely busy person, and I was flattered when she said that she would make time to see me. So, we arranged to meet for coffee over the weekend. She showed up to our date in her gym gear and apologized for being so underdressed, but could only make it after a scheduled workout with her personal trainer. But I didn't care at all. She looked absolutely smoking hot in her yoga pants. And we were having coffee, just kind of chatting about our lives, our interests, all that first date kind of stuff, when I look out of the big glass windows to see this dude leaning up against his car. I thought it was my mind playing tricks on me at first, but after a minute or two I realized that he was just straight up staring at us. At one point, Saruche noticed me looking over her shoulder and asked what I'm looking at, and I make a comment about the bloke outside who seemed to be proper eyeballing us. She then turns around, looking over her shoulder, then spins back with this terrified look on her face before saying something like, we have to leave, now. I'm all like, why, do you know that fella? And she denies knowing him, but I'm not a dope. I knew what the score was, like straight away. Either it was a controlling family member or something, or it was a psycho ex-boyfriend. I figured all he'd do was follow us to try and be intimidating or something, but I never imagined he'd actually lay hands on me, and the way that he did it absolutely scared the soil out of me. You see, where I live is built up along this big mile-wide river, and the coffee shop me and Suriche had chosen to meet at was right on the docks. So we're walking along the city's promenade when the guy cornered me, grabbed me by the throat, and started pushing me backwards so my back was leaning over the rails. I tried to get him off, but this bloke was an absolute unit, and as much as I tried, there was no getting him off of me. And the thing about the river where I live is that it's got a really, really strong current. Like, if you fall off of a boat and we're over the side of the prom, you can be in serious trouble as the current will suck you under the water, drown you, and then just drag you out into the Irish Sea. So the whole time he's threatening me, telling me to leave Suriche alone, all this big macho masculine stuff. Suriche is smacking him around the head, telling him to get off me, and all the while I'm thinking, if I go over the edge here, I'm a dead man. And I don't think he had any idea of it either. Like, it didn't sound like he was from our city, as we have a very particular accent, which he just didn't have. So he was probably thinking he could lash me in the water and embarrass me a wee bit, and I'd just be fine, but I'm telling you now, I wouldn't have been, and he'd have been done for manslaughter. But thank God, he didn't throw me over the railings, he just sort of backed off and headed back the way that he'd come after he'd blown off a little bit of steam. I mean, the girl was gorgeous. I don't blame him for being a bit sore after a breakup or jealous of another lad, but Jesus Christ, if he'd been angrier, if he'd have lost his cool, really lost control.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I legit wouldn't be here typing this. I'd be floating in the Irish Sea somewhere. Maybe washing up as a rotten corpse on the beach in County Cork, all because of some idiot getting a bit jealous.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways, exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.